So number one, proof demand is looking outside. What's going on in the market right now? Where do I have an opportunity to solve a new problem or solve an old problem in a new way? Because there's a crowded market of people who are running toward the problem with their own unique solution. Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey, my friends, Deb Boulanger here. Last week, I shared with you the three most often looked steps when you're starting a business. And that is, you know, the amount of time and energy it's going to take for you to detox from corporate and step in this new role as an entrepreneur, test before you invest, how to find demand in your market before you build supply, and, you know, how to create this new identity. So today, I want to dive a little bit deeper in the testing before you invest. And this is kind of a preview for the live training I'm offering next week, November 6th through 10th. This is 2023. And if you're not able, if you're listening to this at another time, that's cool. We are always offering these master classes. It's our way of connecting to our audience to support the women entrepreneurs who are bravely going out there and looking to start and grow a coaching or consulting business. So I love to give back in this way. So reach out to me on LinkedIn if you are looking for our next event and you would like an exclusive invitation to that. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Proven Profit Path Framework. And perhaps you've heard me talking about the Reliable Revenue Framework in the past. The Reliable Revenue Framework is a step later than the Proven Profit Path, right? So the Proven Profit Path is four steps. Number one, prove demand. Number two, package and price your services for maximum advantage. And I'll share a little bit about what I mean by that. Number three is to carve out a premium position in your marketplace that dominates your category. And number four is to prioritize the plan. You know, you've heard the saying, plan the work and work the plan. How do you prioritize your plan as CEO and have your schedule actually align to and support your goals? So does that sound good? Cool. So let's dive in. So proving demand. I mean, we are in a time where we have so many more assistants. We have so many more market research assistants than we did even 5 years ago. So with the introduction of AI and ChatGPT and some other AI-enabled tools, it's much easier to analyze the market than it has ever been before. And if you missed my episode on how I'm using AI in my business, go back and listen to that because I go into detail about the different areas where we're using AI in our business right now. And one of those is to work with clients to help prove demand in their market. So you are not entering this market in a vacuum. It's not a situation where you decide to launch a business, you hang out your marketing shingle, which is your website or your LinkedIn profile, and you do some posts and you invite people to book a call with you and no one shows up, right? So that's not how we prove demand. We prove demand by doing two things, some secondary research on what's already going out there in the market. And markets are always shifting and changing. Your buyers are shifting and changing. Their needs are shifting and changing. You know, back just a year or so ago, being able to manage a hybrid workforce was a key challenge many companies were having as people returned to the office after the COVID quarantine. And so being able to tap into what's going on in the market. And, you know, another space that's undergoing a lot of change is DEI. A few years ago, DEI was all the rage, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we were appointing DEI officers in companies only to find out 2 years later, very few of those efforts actually got off the ground or made a difference in the companies that started them. And so the markets are always shifting and changing. The economy is shifting and changing all the time. We're, you know, the market is soft. We're going into a recession. No, we're not going to a recession. We were in an inflationary period for a period of time. And so the markets are always shifting and changing. The economy is shifting and changing. And the political landscape is also shifting and changing. We're now finding ourselves in a conflict in the Middle East. And so for that reason, those are all things that affect what people are buying, how they're buying them, how much they're willing to invest in solutions. And that's true whether you're dealing with individuals or individuals who are making decisions for the company that they work for. So number one, prove demand is looking outside. What's going on in the market right now? Where do I have an opportunity to solve a new problem or solve an old problem in a new way? Because there's a crowded market of people who are running toward the problem with their own unique solution. So how do you prove demand? And the second part of that is primary research. It's having conversations with people who are potential buyers of your services, potential future buyers of your services, understanding where they're stuck. What are these challenges costing them? What is the outlook should nothing change? What is the potential that they see if they could only get a new system in place, or if they could do some leadership coaching or leadership training? What is the solution that they're looking for? Some form of change management initiative or technology. You know, what is on the other side of that? What are the benefits that they hope to gain? And what is the personal gain for the person that you're selling to, right? So if you're dealing with individuals, it's all about personal gain. It's all about increased confidence, making more money, whatever the outcomes are that you provide through the work that you do. And for organizations, it's typically reduced cost or increased opportunity or something that impacts the well-being of the organization, the culture of the organization, or the financial future of the organization. So understand where their demand is. And the only way you can do that is by having powerful conversations. And you can use AI to analyze the trends in those powerful conversations. So that's a time saver, and where AI brings a lot of intelligence in the analysis of the data, the qualitative data, to spot the patterns and trends. And then what do we do with that? Once we have all of that data, we have some verbatim insights into where the people who make up our market are challenged. We also understand what they've tried, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what the ideal solution looks like to them, what value they hope to get, what their objectives are in their role in the enterprise, or what their personal objectives are as individuals who are seeking to change or grow. And now that gives us an advantage. So if you do the step, if you make sure you spend enough time proving demand before you build out your supply, which is your offerings, then you will just stand out from the competition, because being a good interviewer, and this is where the questions that you choose to ask are everything. And that's why in the Launch Lab, I work closely with clients on how to craft the questions that they're asking people in these one-on-one interviews or in these focus groups so that you get good output. Right. So your output is only as good as the input that you give it in those discussions. And done right, you have everything that you need in order to package your services. You understand exactly what steps you would have to take your future clients through in order to bring them to the other side and help them reach their goals. So then you have your step-by-step framework as an output of that demand research. And done right, you also understand how people want to consume that support. Do they want to work with you one-on-one? Are they looking for you to actually roll up your sleeves and help them implement and accomplish some of the goals that they have on the table? So the answer is different depending on whether you're a coach or consultant and what your specific value proposition is. But this is where you get to carve out your advantage. And this is where women who come from the corporate space have a keen advantage over others, is because we think in frameworks. We think in terms of methodology. We think in terms of repeatability. And so that will work to your advantage. And then the question is, how do I price my services? And if you've asked the right questions in the market research phase, you have a range, right? So you know what the value that's desired by your client at the end of this engagement. And you also understand what they've already invested that hasn't worked for them. And so we're looking to, in my mind, I've got a back of the napkin. I do a 10X. Can I 10X the value that someone invests with me? So if a client pays me $20,000, is the value of that work $200,000 for them? So that's kind of my back of the napkin. But truthfully, pricing is an art as well as a science. You don't know when you've hit a price ceiling until you hit it. And so I always encourage my clients to just raise your prices every time you put something out into market. You'll know when you've hit that ceiling and you've kind of maxed out on the value proposition of that particular offer. And then the third piece of the third step in the proven profit path framework is to carve out a premium position in your market. And what this means is you've heard me speak about, you know, what is the lane you want to own? What do you want to be known for? That's what your premium position is. And every single client of mine in the Six-Figure Accelerator, which is our upper echelon program for those who are already at mid six figures, once they dial in their premium market position that they want to own, it really starts to work for them as a referral engine. Your visibility, the messaging that is unique to you, that you want to be known for, the talks that you give, what you post on LinkedIn or what you post on Instagram, that becomes your professional narrative, your personality brand, as Danielle Hughes so eloquently said in our episode on your personality brand. That's what makes you stand out as a premium positioning in your category. So you want to dominate your category and be known for something. So for me, you know already that I'm here to close the revenue gap for women entrepreneurs, right? So by separating your self-worth from what you charge and by separating your self-worth from your maybe feelings of discomfort about the level of visibility that's required to actually carve out a preeminent position in your market, you overcome the mindset challenges and you make those mindset shifts so that you start showing up differently and people start resonating with your messaging. Even if no one is commenting on your posts, even if you have a low number of impressions, they will increase over time because being consistent is what works when you're carving out a premium position in your marketplace. And every post contributes to your premium position in your market. So be thoughtful about those posts. And we have a framework that we teach our clients on how to create a powerful LinkedIn post. It's, you know, not just slapping something up there. It's not about sharing someone else's content because then you're elevating someone else's preeminent position in their market when you're sharing their content to your audience. You're actually highlighting them, elevating them in front of your audience. So when you are posting your own content, you're elevating your own thought leadership. You are connecting with your ideal clients. Let your ideal client avatar, the person that you're targeting with your message, be the hero of these stories. So make sure you're pulling your clients forward as well and promoting them in your posts. So create some messages of what you want to be known for. Again, that all comes from the prove demand stage. So I hope by now you understand how important the market research stage is and how you can't fake that. You can't fake that till you make it, because you'll be throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks for years. And it's the long way. And if you want to delay revenue, that's great. I don't know anyone who wants to delay the acquisition of clients or the realization of revenue. But if you want to push that aside, then do the trial and error approach. But really, doing the market research phase and doing it well is the foundation on which everything else is built. So premium position is number three. And number four is prioritize the plan. So you've heard the prioritize the work, work the plan. What this means is that 80% of your time is focused on business development activities and 20% of your time is focused on service delivery. Full stop. You are primarily a client acquisition executive, especially when you first start out. So this is a tricky part for those who have fractional CXO offering. So if you're a fractional chief financial officer or fractional chief strategy officer or chief marketing officer, you can rapidly find yourself spending 50, 60, 70% of your time on service delivery. And you don't have enough time to carve out your premium position in the market. You don't have enough time to increase your exposure and get out there in the networks and channels and complete all the speaking engagements. So the danger of that business model is that you tap out of your time and service delivery. And when that client contract comes to completion, then you're stuck. You're stuck because suddenly you have no revenue coming in. So that's something to be wary of when you're a fractional executive. Make sure that if you had two clients that they only took up, you know, 20% of your time or maybe 30% of your time max to deliver, or you create a business model where you are the face of the brand. You might do the client strategy, but you have a team of other people who are lower priced on your team who are doing the actual execution. That's one way you could carve out your time. But anyway, I'm going down a rat hole of prioritizing your time as a CXO. There are many business models out there. You need to be seen. You need to be heard. This is a content play. So creating lead magnets, creating free offers, creating presentations, creating publications. So whether or not you have a LinkedIn newsletter, whether you are posting to LinkedIn or Instagram, and whether or not you have a social media marketing manager. So here's the thing. You can outsource social media to a certain extent, right? So if you want someone to repurpose testimonials into carousels, if you want to do a series of videos on your phone and you want to send them off to someone to brand them and put on the closed captions, you know, put them in the frame and all of that and get them scheduled and posted, that's perfectly fine. But your message, to have someone be you, and even AI can't do this. And I think there's going to be a backlash with some of the AI tools and people taking content that they've created in ChatGPT or Jasper or Claude or any number of the content creation AI tools out there and posting them verbatim on LinkedIn. I think there'll be a backlash there. The algorithms will figure it out sooner or later, and you'll probably be punished for it. So you need to customize. I mean, I use AI tools all the time, but they're not perfect. And I use them as a framework for my idea generation. And then I fill in the pieces with my personal brand voice. And the AI tools also can be trained in your brand voice, so they can get better and better all the time. And if you're interested in learning more about that, you have my Conversations with the Laurens. That was a few episodes ago. I know we'll put the specific link to episodes in the show notes, but that was a really enlightening session on some of the most useful AI tools that can help you with your marketing today. And then prioritize a plan. So you are CEO, your CMO, your chief sales officer, 80% of your focus is on revenue generating activity. So where are you showing up in your networks? Where are you showing up as a speaker? Where are you showing up as a podcast guest? Where are you delivering content that converts? Do you have lead magnets? Do you understand how the experience gets created when someone listens to you speak at a workshop or a conference? They get on your mailing list, they download your free something, and now they are in your inner circle and you are obliged to continue that conversation. If you do not continue to that conversation, that connection will die. And you've invested all this time and resource in getting up in front of your ideal client audience and converting them to your email list, but you haven't nurtured that connection. And eventually your emails will just go into spam. So that's another place where you need to prioritize your content creation for the care and feeding of the growing audience that you're building. And then you have your service delivery. So when are you carving out time in your week to actually deliver to your clients? And I highly recommend that you carve out time in your day and you don't task switch. You don't go from sales calls to client calls or from content creation to a sales call. that you actually batch your tasks, that you have time set aside for content creation. You have time set aside for having sales conversations. You have time set aside that's for client delivery. And of course, you need your CEO time too, so that you can continue to strategize and plan and analyze what's working right and what's not. You need time to have calls with your team. So if you have a virtual assistant, if you have a social media marketing manager, if you have a bookkeeper or a fractional CFO, when are you making time on your calendar for those conversations? And then there are collaborative conversations of potential referral partners. Maybe you're meeting people in some of these networks that you belong to. So recently I joined a group called The Dames. The Dames came out of Denver, and it's a group of women entrepreneurs of all business sizes, but the culture of that community is to be referral partners for one another. So it's almost like a global BNI community, if you know Business Networking International, where it's really built on the culture of keeping the money within the community and referring to each other. So you need to make time for those kinds of connection and collaboration calls. And you need time to do your own research, because things are always changing. You know, are you writing a book too? That's something that you have to carve out time for if you're writing a book. If you're giving a talk, do you have time carved out on your calendar to develop that talk? Are you doing market research interviews? How are you blocking that time? So you catch my drift. Prioritize your plan as CEO and make sure your schedule aligns with the goals that you want to achieve and that you understand what those critical drivers are for your success. Are you delivering a webinar every month? Are you doing a five-day masterclass every other month? So that's what we do. We do a five-day masterclass every other month, and that masterclass changes depending on which program we are enrolling into. So sometimes we're targeting those that are beginning in entrepreneurship. Sometimes we're targeting those that are already successful who are looking to scale. So look at your calendar, find out the rhythm for the revenue in your business. What are your seasons that you're selling into? And what are the seasons for your buyers? You know, typically for my business in August, not a whole lot happens. So August for me is like a planning month, planning for a strong Q4, and also kicking back and having some great time by the beach. So that's the Proven Profit Path framework. I invite you to click the link. It's also thegreatdoover.com/LAC. That will give you, that stands for Life After Corporate. That will get you the link to the Proven Profit Path, and join us. Show up in the live room. I mean, what would it be like? It's, you're a podcast listener. What would it be like if I could work on your business with you right there in the live room? And there's no charge for this. It's absolutely free. And if you are ready to work together, then just raise your hand and send me a direct message and say, Deb, you know, this was fabulous. I'd love to work with you on growing my business. I want to take the Proven Profit Path. I don't want to throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. Then reach out to me and we'd be happy to have that conversation with you. So reliable revenue is available to you if you focus on the right steps, if you build a strong foundation for growth, and if you're consistent in the four P's of the Proven Profit Path. That's it for now, my friends. I will see you next time and hopefully next week in the live Zoom room. Take care. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.